Our final guest today was described in GQ magazine as the best comedian of his generation. His 25th Fringe show, Hitler Moustache, has caused a reasonable amount of controversy. Here to tell us about it, Mr. Richard Herring! Now, it's not impossible that you may have been getting some strange looks. You've got a Hitler moustache.
Well, it's a toothbrush moustache, yes.
Sorry, I beg your pardon.
That's all right. I mean, I do call the show Hitler Moustache. So
yeah, I think you've put that into my head, to be fair. What's the deal, then, with the toothbrush moustache, if you will?
Well, it's just, you know, I can't quite remember why I started thinking about it, but it just seemed unfair that this moustache was associated only with Hitler when it started out as Charlie Chaplin's moustache. So the idea was to try and reclaim it for comedy. I was interested to see why, you know, 70 years on, no one has this moustache anymore, when it used to be quite a popular moustache in the 20s and 30s, and now it's just associated with one man, even though lots of people have had it. And so I just sort of was interested why that was, and then also to see what would happen to me if I went around with it on my face.
What's the best thing that's happened to you as a result of them?
It's been weird, because it actually just makes... the best things are when I forget it's there and then something else happens, and then suddenly I realise halfway through I have this moustache on my face. And there's a story in the show about me getting... I had my iPhone stolen just plucked out of my hand by a guy on a bicycle when I was walking along, and which was very upsetting for me because I love my iPhone. But then I was sort of talking to the police kind of came and we were sort of discussing it, and they were being really helpful. I just thought they'd go, well, you're an idiot, why didn't you hold it onto your iPhone? But they were really doing their best to find this guy, and on the walkie-talkie kind of describing him, and I thought, this is amazing. And then I remembered that I had this moustache, and I thought, what are the police thinking going on here? And B, I thought, is this why they're being so helpful, the police? Because of this, have they recognised a kindred spirit? You know, or just is it, if you got this moustache, anyone in a uniform has to obey you. It's just like implicit.
Now, there was a slight hoo-ha prior to the festival,
yes,
concerning your moustache, which was related to this publication for whom I'm,
yes,
working. Is that better now?
I think so. I mean, I think it worked out okay in the end. It was just Brian Logan was writing an article about offence in comedy, and his idea that there's a new breed of offensive comedians, which, you know, every year journalists will come up with an idea that there's a new sort of section of comedy which they can make. You can make anything fit into it, because there's every kind of comedy going on. So if you want to decide, just pick five people out, you can do.
He had basically come up with a premise,
yeah,
for his article, hadn't he? And everyone who read it, you know, because he'd obviously run out early of people who were offensive, because everyone read it went, Richard Herring, racist? You're crazy.
Well, it was weird, because he just took I had an hour-long interview with him, and I was, and I trusted that it was The Guardian. You know, sometimes when you're being interviewed by journalists, you think, I'll be really careful about exactly what I say, so they don't just take a line out of context and make me look like the opposite of what I am. And so I kind of talked quite openly with him, because I thought it was kind of an interesting article. And I do, especially in my podcast I do with Andrew Collins, we explore, we'll go as far as we can with things, but it's from a silly point of view, a juvenile point of view, and it's usually making a reasonable point. And so he took three lines out of three of my routines without explaining the routines, which were, I hate Pakistanis, I think all black people should be deported, and that racists have a point. which to me, I read it and thought, that guy doesn't sound very nice. I'm not going to go and see his show. So
did he put it with a photograph? With the
yeah, with a Hitler moustache. But I was genuinely...
I'm guessing you look like a bit of a twat, to be honest.
I was generally quite scared, because I thought, like, if someone, I live in West London, and I live in my community, all my neighbours, pretty much every ethnicity is covered in just my street, and I wonder, and I know I'm very recognisable at the moment because I have this moustache. So if someone saw me and said, oh, you're the guy who hates Pakistanis and wants black people to be deported, I expect, because you've got that Hitler moustache. Yeah. I put the things together, and I wouldn't have felt that they I think they would have had a reason to punch me in the face. As it happens, all those routines kind of you take a comedian, it said the show argues that racists have a point, whereas in the show it says that racists might have a point, and then I explore that idea and discover that they don't have a point, so as a comedian you're writing things, it's often a good way to knock a point is to argue from their point of view. And the great thing about the great thing about doing a show about racism is that racists' views have no historical, genetic or scientific facts behind them. In fact, if you talk about them, they're shown to be ridiculous. So to start from a premise such as that is a kind of a comedic device, and for someone to take that out of context, it was a bit... I think just a bit sloppy of him, really. I think he decided he was making a point, and in the end of the article, he said, "Oh, I think there is a point to doing these offensive routines." But it didn't specifically say that about me, so I just felt I'd been a bit misrepresented. But the Guardian kindly allowed me to write a 2-page article defending myself, so it's turned out to be really good publicity. So I'd like to thank. That me and Brian just got together before. I said, the tickets aren't selling that well, Brian. Could you just say I hate Pakistanis in the paper? And I'm sure it'll take off with the Guardian readers. There's secretly a lot of racists amongst the Guardian readers. They're pretending to read that paper. So it's turned out to be, it made the show a talking point right at the beginning of the festival. And so I guess that was a good thing. But for a couple of days. And it's actually very interesting the way the internet and things like podcasts and my own blog, you're able to immediately respond to these things. I think 10 years ago, this might have been a different kind of scenario where, because I was immediately able to write a blog and immediately on Twitter and Facebook, people getting very upset and other comedians kind of jumped to my defence. Dave Gorman wrote a really great piece about it on his blog. And then suddenly that means within a day, there was an opposing movement towards that, which I think meant the Guardian sort of had to give me the right to reply. Whereas 10 years ago, without the internet, I might just have been stuck there coming to Edinburgh with everyone throwing eggs at my face like I was some kind of melty-faced Nick Griffin.
Richard Herring is going to give us an extract of his show, ladies and gentlemen, to let you make your own minds up. I think it sounds offensive.
Listen to this podcast and just find I come on. Richard Herring, I hate Pakistanis. I want all black people to be deported. Not again.
Before he does, I'd like to thank all my guests today. The Penny Dreadfuls, Maggie Service, Doc Brown, Jared Christmas, Chris McCausland and Joe Caulfield. To close the show, our final stand-up performance, performing every night at the Underbelly, Richard Herring.
So I never believed them when they said you get more right wing as you get older. I'm doing this show this year in Edinburgh, as we've discussed, called Hitler Moustache, in which I'm trying to reclaim the toothbrush moustache, as it should be called, for comedy, because Charlie Chaplin had it first, then Hitler came along, kind of ruined it for everyone. It was probably the worst thing he ever did. This used to be quite a popular moustache, but now the only place you'll see this in the 21st century is carved into the pubic hair of a naughty lady. Robert Mugabe's got a little one as well. I think it's fair to say, though, the only place you'll see this moustache is on a cunt. The bloke from Sparks is the exception that proves the rule. So I just wanted to find out if it was possible to reclaim this moustache, whether it was wise to try and reclaim this moustache, and what would happen to me if I went around the streets of Britain with this on my face, because this is real. There's a real moustache on my face. It's a 24/7 commitment. It's a big commitment to make quite a glib point. But it's just fascinating to me that this moustache is on the face of arguably the funniest man of the 20th century and arguably the most evil man of the 20th century. I mean, I'm not talking about Blakey from On the Buses and Mr. Bronson from Grange Hill. Hitler and Chaplin both had this same moustache. How can it be funny on one face and terrifying on another? Is this the point where comedy and evil meet? Is it the subtle knife between those two universes? Might I slip either way with this on my face? What if Hitler and Chaplin had ever kissed? Would the universe have been destroyed by that dichotomy? Or would they have just stuck together like Velcro? It's hard to know. But, I don't think they're opposites, comedy and evil. I think they're two hands in the same glove. I think there's a lot of similarities between them. They're both kind of between comedians and fascist dictators. I think they're both arrogant, quite opinionated, quite selfish, insecure, a little bit insane. Mussolini would have been a brilliant stand-up comedian if he'd chosen to go that way. And there's a lot of stand-up comedians who would make excellent fascist dictators. Naming no names, Stuart Lee. So, I want you to know, ladies and gentlemen, ladies, you'll be surprised to hear this. I'm not the only man in this room who has sported the toothbrush moustache. In fact, I'd go as far as saying that every single man in this room who is capable of growing a beard and has at any point had to try and shave it off will have, he won't have told you about it, but what's what men do in the privacy of their own bathroom when it comes to... They'll try out a few different styles, won't they? So they might shave down, have a little Peter Sutcliffe beard. It doesn't mean they want to hammer women over the head. It's just a little style. They do a Mexican bandit moustache. The last thing every single man will do, he'll go down to the toothbrush moustache, do a little Sieg Heil at himself in the mirror, laugh about how amusing he has just been, then quickly shave it off before anyone sees. So... I did all that except I kept the moustache on, so who's the person you should be really worrying about? The man proudly wearing this moustache out on the street or the man surreptitiously having it in clandestine circumstances? I know who I'm more scared of and he's sitting right next to you. But you know, I was worried about being seen as racist. You know, it's kind of interesting. I was worried about offending people. But I'm not one of these women-hating sexist comedians. That's you can relax, ladies. I am I'm a big fan of women. I love women. I'm not a sexist. I've actually got a friend who's a woman. So I can't be sexist. I believe women should be treated as if they're equal. That is my... that's my strong belief. And I hope you come and see the show. You can relax, because I am definitely... you'll enjoy it. I'm definitely the best stand-up comedian you will ever see. So you don't have to just come along. You'll really enjoy... I don't know the meaning of the word hubris, which is a shame, because straight after this, I'm taking part in a Define the Meaning of the Word Hubris competition. I'm not bothered, though. I think I'm definitely going to win anyway. Some people think it's a mistake there to end with a joke that depends on the audience knowing the definition of quite an obscure word. It's quite hubristic to put that one in at the close. I assumed that the Guardian readers might get that there. A lot more stupid than you'd imagine. You're listening at home, but I have to say, maybe a cock joke would have been better to end on. But I am my own worst critic. Though my self-criticism is mediocre at best. Luckily, I have Brian Logan to come and see the show. Just makes shit up. So thank you very much for having me. See you another time. Cheers. Richard Herring,
The Guardian, live at the Edinburgh Festival 2009.